and know his love will lift us. But John 3:16, that's what everybody needs to remember. John 3:16, I reckon it's the most known verse in the Bible. Probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. But we just need to thank the Lord for his mercy, thank him for his grace, and we need to thank him for his love also. You know, because he loved me. He died for me. That's the reason he died, because he loved me. And that's the reason he died for you also, because he loved you. He loved enough to give his life for each one. This evening I want to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angels of the church of the Laodicean write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Our Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity where we can be back in thy house tonight. Father, we're so thankful that we are people that love to have a midweek service. And Father, not just a midweek service, but a Sunday morning service and a Sunday afternoon service. And yes, Lord, we love to support missionaries. And Lord, we love to have revival. And Father, we know revival is for the saints of God. And Father, we ask today, Lord Jesus, that you be with Brother Paul, Father. Oh, Lord God, give him the very message, Father, that my heart needs, and stir my heart and stir my soul. And Father, help us as a church, and Father, that we can be united together in one accord, Father, that we can love you and we can go out and, Father, and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, yes, we need to get them saved outside of the house of God, and then we can bring them into the house of God. And then we can bring them in and teach them. But Father, this day and time, we know that this thing of easy believism, Father, is going around, Father, really swiping the earth, Father. It's going around so heavy, Father, within the church. And Father, people think today that it's yes, that they can get saved anytime they want to, Father. But we know, Lord, that that cannot be, Father. It must be the drawing of the Holy Spirit, the drawing unto you, Father, that the only way that they can get saved. And Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done, what you have allowed to be accomplished, Father, for each and every one of us. And we thank you for your many, many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we see here that here in the book of the Revelations, we see right here in chapter 3, the latter part of chapter 3 here, 14, verse 14 down through verse 19, is speaking about the wayward Christian. It's speaking about the Christian that has just got away from God's word, has got away from the prayer life, has got away from fellowshipping with other Christians. So they just done backslid and got out of church. And they are not cold. They're not cold toward the church. And they're not hot toward the church. They are lukewarm. And I believe the lukewarmness that Jesus is speaking about here is a lukewarmness of pride. That we can see the pride that the people have in their life today. They'll come up to you and they'll even say today, says, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven. I just really wonder how many of them are really going to heaven. Because if you don't have a love for God, if you don't have a love for God's house, then I just don't believe that God is going to be around somebody and allow somebody like that to be able to enter into portals of glory. And that's me, and that's the way I look at it. Because, you know, if they're not happy down here with what the Lord's done for them, and what the Lord has done, and what the Lord is doing for them, and what the Lord will do for them, if they're not happy down here, if it can't give him thanks and praise for it, then why would you think that they're going to heaven? Because if they won't give him thanks down here, they sure ain't going to give him thanks when he get to heaven. Because the thing about it is, they're going to be there in heaven, and they're going to be right there with Jesus Christ. So there's not going to be no need in them saying, well, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. They didn't thank him down here. I tell you one thing, the ones that's in love with him, down here, is the ones that are going to stay in love with him throughout eternity. Until he takes us home, and even after he takes us home, we're going to still be in love with him. Why? Because we have got that intimate relationship with the Lord that's personal. It becomes personal between me and the Lord. It's a personal relationship. People today don't want to make it personal anymore. But it must be a personal relationship. And I believe that that's where the lukewarmness come in. Because we see so much of the lukewarmness today that's to come into the house of God. And they come in, they just sit there and waiting for 8 o'clock to come about, 7 o'clock or 12 o'clock, waiting for that time to come to where the pastor can, when he closes his Bible, when he says amen, that they know it's not going to be long, to where they can go and get in line at the favorite steakhouse or the favorite fish market. That they can go and get in line and they won't have to be held back. They won't have to worry about getting in line to where the line is going to be 25 or 30 people long. That they can get there in time enough. Where they can be right there in the front of the line. I like it the way, and I know a whole lot of people don't like it when I say this, but that's them. But I believe the black churches has got it right. When they come in on Sunday, I know they may live like the devil during the week. But But when they come on Sunday, you know that they come there for a reason. They come out to worship the Lord. And they don't look at no time. I can remember asking, Brother Roy was telling me that one of his co-workers down there where he worked at, his Sears, went to his pastor and told him, he says, "I'd like for you to get Brother Roy to come and hold services for us one day." He said, "All right." So he come back to see us and everything and asked Brother Roy, he said, "Would you come and hold services for us one Sunday morning?" He said, "Yes, sir, sure will." He said, "What time y'all start?" He said, "We start at 10 o'clock. Well, naturally, you know, Roy, you know, he'd just been in a Baptist church and everything, 10 o'clock. When 10 o'clock come on Sunday, you had Sunday school hour. 11 o'clock, you had preaching. I mean, the choir would come up and sing and have specials. And then 11:30, the preacher would get up here and start preaching. But it won't that way when he went. I mean, he didn't come and he didn't sit down on the front pew either. They said, come on up here. You don't sit down there with them. Come on, you sit up here." Why? They was recognizing who he was, but he said, "What really got his goat?" That's what he said. "What really got my goat was about 1 o'clock. The back doors of the church just swung open. The choir leader, he come walking in, and the choir right behind him come walking in, and they were singing. They were singing from the top of their lungs. 'We have overcome. We have overcome.'" Brother Royce looked over to the pastor and asked him, he says, "What you saying? How about we have overcome?" He said, "We ain't overcome now." Pastor says, "That was one of Martin Luther King's favorite songs, 'We have overcome.'" And he said, "Well, if y'all depending on that, he got up and he preached. He said he preached by 35, 40 minutes. About that time, I mean, he preached. He just preached a salvation message. They ain't never heard that before. You'd be surprised at how many people or in the local church today has never heard a salvation message and don't know how to get saved. That's sad. It's sad to say, as many churches that we have in the city of Danville, in Pennsylvania County, if you've got 500 churches, I say probably 450 of them has never heard a salvation message. Because the preacher, they don't want to upset the apple cart. They said, "You know, if I get up here and start preaching some of this stuff, I know what church is going to hit me back home." Then I'm going to come back that night, and old Sister Susie, she just got all of it set. Of course, once she comes to, she comes to the chairman and the board. People don't want to hear anything about nails. They don't want to hear it anymore. Why? Jesus called more hell than he did heaven. I mean, it's more in the Bible about hell than it is heaven. And that's the reason we come. That's the reason we're here tonight. Why? Because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our name has been written there in heaven, and we're not going to hell.
And that right there is enough for any Christian to be able to just raise, lift their hands up toward heaven and shout, praise God.
People are scared. People are scared. I mean, I hate to say it, but preachers. And I'm going to say it because I is a preacher. That's what they call them. I had somebody come up and I'd never met them before or something like that. And I'd run into them at Walmart or somewhere like that. And they'd be talking to somebody else that I know. And then they'll come around and speak to me and everything. I'm trying my very best to do God's work. I says, but really, when it comes right down to it, we're all preachers. We're all preachers. Because what does a preacher do? A preacher goes out and what? Evangelize. Give out the gospel. Be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a preacher does. There's a difference between a preacher and a pastor. But you can also have them both in one. But right here, talking about the lukewarmness. I don't never want to get in that place where I'm so lukewarm that I don't care about nobody. I don't care anything about my church. I don't care anything about my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And when people get that way, that's where they have the lukewarmness. I mean, what God is saying right here, what Jesus is saying right here, he says, I was just cold.
I was just cold and don't even speak to them. I mean, don't speak to your brothers and sisters in Christ you used to go to church with. If you don't want to be in church with them or whatever, don't speak to them. You go out here, just don't speak to them. But when it gets that, then that's when God can do something with them. That's when an individual can go to them and talk to them about the Word of God and tell them what they're missing out on.
And I believe in my heart that the miserablest individual is a Christian that has backslid on God. That has backslid on God. You know where we backslide at?
It's not in the world. We don't backslide at work. We don't backslide with going out here and hanging around somebody else. Where the Christian backslide is on his feet. Right there on his feet. Where the backslide starts. When you get your mind off what's happening within the church. When you get your mind on like what I was talking about earlier.
He know doggone well I go to the steakhouse. And you know, everybody else in Dan was going to the steakhouse too. And he wants to just put me there where I can just wait in line. Well, don't tell me where you're going to eat at. I mean, really, that's where that individual has started backsliding. Why? Because they got their mind off of the message and got their mind on the world and feeding, allowing the world to come in and to feed them. We don't need no more of the world in God's church than what we already have. We have today, I believe it's we have more of the world in the church. And the world is getting more churchier. Because everybody out in the world is a Christian. Everybody's out there saved. But if all the individuals that are saved, why ain't they in the house of God? Why ain't this church filled up? Why ain't the tabernacle they're here for? Why ain't community full? Why ain't all the other churches full? I mean, it's the truth behind it. Because we can go out there to starting tomorrow, and we can go from tomorrow until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And everybody that we see, or we can come in contact with, if we know them or if we don't, we just ask them. And say, you know the Lord? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm saved. By the weekend, all the churches should be full. Why? Because they're Christians. Christians don't stay at home on Sunday. Christians don't stay at home and do some of the things. I mean, I know some Christians that, and if they will go out and they will go fishing on Sunday, they will go out and do some of the things that they want to do on Sunday. I've had them to tell me, said, well, preacher, says the reason I don't come to church on Sunday is because at that Goodyear, I work 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, and I got one day off, and that's Sunday. What they don't realize is God can take him 6 days he's working, and he can reduce it down to one day. And they got 6 days. See, they don't think that. See, they don't think about things like that until things does hit them. And then the first thing they want to do, who they want to blame? They want to blame God. Why do they want to blame God? But you ain't going to blame them. Because they don't see what they've done in the wrong.
Lukewarmness of the church.
We need to get on fire. We need to be hot. Like then here says in verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white and white raiment. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Gold that's tried in fire.
You know what that represents? Purification. Where he takes that gold and he takes it and he puts it in that hot fire. And when the gold starts bubbling, what that is, that represents the immaturity. Fire and the bubbling up is getting rid of the imperfection within the gold. And you know, Jesus was tried. He was tried by Satan. He was tried by men. He was even tried with his own disciples. Going through the fire. still went through the fire, me, for you, for anyone else who wants to come and trust Jesus. We've got to be on fire. We need a heart of love. And I mean, I know it seems like that I'm kind of maybe hold up a message and kind of related on that love part. But you know something? But if you take love out of the message, you're really taking God out of it. We don't need to take God out of the message, because God, He is love. That's what He is. He's love. L-O-V-E. Love. And I'm thanking Him not
for that He loved me. That He was willing to go and die for me. And the last thing of the lukewarmness of the church, the lukewarmness of the Christian, we can see up here in verse, the latter part of verse 18. Well, no, verse 19, excuse me. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. What he's saying is, you're lukewarm, but I still love you. You don't care anything about yourself, but I do. I still love you.
I don't want to have to chastise you. I don't want to have to take you down to the back of the barn shed and give you a good old lash. If you ever get a whipping from God, you'll know it. You'll know it, and you don't want another one.
Chasten and be zealous. He's a jealous God. He is a jealous God. He's jealous because He wants us all to Himself. He don't want to share us with Satan. He don't want to share us with Satan. He's a jealous God. And we need to be a jealous people, that we don't want to But we need to be a zealous type of Christian, that we will do anything possible to bring others to Jesus Christ. That we're so infatuated with Christ that we want His kingdom to grow. And as His kingdom grows, the church will grow. But if the kingdom of God doesn't grow, the church is not going to grow. And I think I told y'all here a couple weeks ago, yeah, we can bring in 100 people, we can feed them with a hot dog. And we can probably get maybe 35, maybe 40 people from 100 people. If we feed them a hot dog, we just say, well, you come on back and, maybe in a couple weeks we'll have another cookout. We'll have hamburgers that week. Then the next thing you know, then when we start serving coffee in the church, we start serving donuts in the church. Yeah, we can get people in like that. But what have we got? And we got people in here who want to serve God, or just come to eat and to feed off of the church. We don't need that. We don't need to be so much into all the other things of the world. When it comes down to the church, church services here, there should be one thing and one thing only, and that's preaching Jesus. preaching Jesus. And we can grow. In a couple weeks, week after next, I believe the Lord has given us an opportunity here to where we can start growing. It's up to us. God's going to do His part. But before God does His part, we got to do our part. And if we do our part, then we don't have nothing to worry. We don't have nothing else to worry about. I think God's going to do His. I still always say the only way that anybody's going to ever receive a blessing from God is that they have got to carry God a blessing first. If they give God the praise, the glory, and if they carry something to God, they bless Him with it, and then God's going to come back and He's going to bless them with His blessings, and it's not going to be just in what little manner it was in. It's going to be fourfold. It's going to be just like it says on in his storehouse there in Malachi. He says in the store, talking about the storehouse, give unto God. What did he say? He said, well, I'm going to give you a blessing. No, he didn't say that, did he? What did he say?
He says, bless me with your tithes. Bless me with whatever you got. Bless me.
And when you do, then he says, then I'll go and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, last time I looked, and the last time that I've had an opportunity to pour anything out of a 5-gallon can or a quart can or whatever, what was the first thing I had to do? On a 5-gallon gas can, what did I have to do? I had to take the top off. Then I had to pour. But I could pour just a little bit out. A little bit of it might get me maybe from here to cross the road. But then, if I continue pouring it, if I pour it all in my vehicle, instead of getting me down on the other side of the highway, it's going to get me down the road much, much, much farther. Just like an oil can. What have I got to do to that oil can? I got to take that oil can and I got to punch it at the top. Or today they don't even have the round oil can no more. They got this screw on spout and all that. But you have to take the spout off. Then what do you have to do? Well, you take the spout off, it ain't going to do nothing. Hey, there's an oil. That's a quart of oil right there. I didn't took the spout off of it. Now it's all right for me to go on and get my car. All right, I'm going to get on my lawnmower and I'm going to cut my grass. But what did I forget? I forgot to put the oil in. I'm not going to ride my lawnmower that far without oil. I forgot to go and finish the job that I started. And I finished it. I pour it on in. Then I can go right there, mow the grass, and I don't have to worry about the motor locking up, or a rod, or throwing a rod, or a piston through the side of the block, or nothing like that. because I've done my part. But see, if we do our part, God's going to do his part. He's going to do his part. He's going to open the windows of heaven. We don't know what's going to come our way, but I can guarantee you this. If we do it God's way, and only God's way, and we listen to God, then only he will open up the windows of heaven. And his windows in heaven don't have no spring on it. It don't have no locks on it. He just lifts the windows up. What he said, I'll lift the windows of heaven. I'll open the windows. Well, how you open a window? You got to lift it up or swing it open or whatever. But that's for us to be able to understand what he wants to do for us. And I thank God for that he will provide for us everything. A week after next, Brother Paul is going to be here on Monday night starting at 7 o'clock. I told him Sunday night when he called me. Because somebody else had come by here and had seen his sign, had seen his name up. And they got in touch with him, I think it was sometime Sunday, and told him, says, you said you're supposed to be in Ringo the 22nd week after next? I don't think so. I think it's next week. Starting this Monday night. He's, He said, yeah, it is. That's what they had on the sign. So he says, Okay. Ma'am? All right. Okay.